I had been away at boarding school for the fall semester. It had been my first time away from home, and it had been a traumatic time. My parents were missionaries in Honduras. Because of the educational system there at the time, they had to send me back to the United States to a boarding school for my education. I was 14 at the time. School had been pretty much a disaster. I was bullied from the first day I got there. I got into several fights and was beat up almost every week. I hated it. I didn't fit in, and I didn't want to. I wasn't the only one that was bullied. There were several of us misfits, and we all shared that sickening, heavy sense that there really wasn't anything we could do about it. But it was Christmas break, and I headed home. On the 4-hour flight home, after spending the night by myself in a motel by the New Orleans airport, I decided that I didn't know what or how, but my next semester was going to be different. I was not going to be a victim anymore. Christmas was a big deal at our house, perhaps because we were foreigners, although I never considered myself to be one. Honduras was my home, but it was a devastatingly poor land, and while people celebrated Christmas, it wasn't anything like the beauty and magic of Christmas back in the States. Very few people decorated their homes. For most people, Christmas was something you celebrated at a special church service. And while some had gravitated toward the custom of exchanging gifts and having a special meal, most had not. And even if they wanted to, they couldn't afford it. It was a strange feeling I had. For the first time in my life, I was torn between the comfort and joy of being back home and the awareness of the extreme poverty of the land I so dearly loved. And it slowly began to dawn on me. These people were also bullied. Bullied by life, by circumstances, by traditions and situations they had little or no control over. For some reason, the talk of what we kids wanted for Christmas was lost in that perplexity. One day, one of my buddies and I were hanging out. He asked, "What do you think would be the perfect Christmas gift?" I thought about it for a bit and replied, "I have no idea. I don't even know what I want for Christmas." He laughed. "I know what I want. One of those Swiss Army knives with all the tools on it. That would be the perfect Christmas gift for me." I just shook my head. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. It was Christmas Eve day. We had just finished a big family breakfast, and I was sitting in the living room enjoying the fire in the fireplace, the lights on the tree, some Christmas music on the old record player. And I began to notice all the presents under the tree. My curiosity got the best of me, and I got down on the floor and looked for the presents labeled for me. One from Grandma and Grandpa, one from Uncle Bill and Aunt Betty, some from some other friends and other missionaries. And it occurred to me, I don't even really want any of these. And after a moment I thought, but somebody should. And a plot began to develop in my mind. What if I could find someone that would really want these? Wouldn't we all be better off? Yeah, I thought, we would. The plan came together in an instant. What if I took my presents and gave them away to someone else that wasn't expecting any presents? And my mind began to whirl with ideas of what could happen. I gathered most of the gifts that were under the tree for me. I didn't even know what they were. I ran and asked Mom if I could borrow the second family car. Yes, you could drive in Honduras at the age of 14. And I took off on an undertaking that had captured my imagination. I stopped by the mission office and picked up some food and supplies, and then went to a couple of stores in town and purchased gifts for children, and then a few for moms and dads. I spent every dime I had. I asked the store clerk to wrap them, and then it was on to the mountains. I had no idea where I was going, but I just knew that it would be clear when I got there. I must have driven for a couple of hours along a dirt road carved into the mountains. I drove past little villages and settlements, little haciendas, little homes built into the mountainside. And suddenly, I came up on a shack on the side of the road that caught my attention. There was obviously a family that lived there because there were children's clothes hanging on a line to dry. I couldn't be sure what the man of the house did, but there were a couple of donkeys, some cows, and some chickens in the yard around the house. As was typical, there was an outside kitchen with an adobe oven heating up to cook some dinner. And right in the middle of the yard, a small tree with strips of colored crepe paper hanging on it. Their Christmas tree. Then I saw him, a boy of about 10 or 11 years old, chopping some wood. I knew I had found my destination. I parked the car on the side of the road and walked through the gate. A couple of children ran out of the house and stopped and just gawked at me. The boy stopped chopping wood and looked me over. And then their dad came out of the house. You have to understand, having an American just drive up and walk into your yard in the jungle mountains of Honduras is not a common occurrence. They had reason to be mystified. "Hello," I said to whom I presumed was the father. "Hello," he said. "Are you lost?" "No," I said, "I'm right where I want to be." He looked at me quizzically. I then explained, "It's Christmas time, and in the United States, we celebrate Christmas a little differently than we do here. But I wanted to share some of the way we celebrate Christmas with you. So I brought you and your family some gifts. Could you help me get them out of the car?" "Andres," he called, "go help him." Andres came over. I smiled and stuck out my hand to shake his. He had no idea what to do. I noticed some bruising on his face. "So, what's that bruise on the side of your head?" I asked. He quietly answered, "Oh, some boys up the road pick on me." "That must be very difficult," I responded. "Yes," he said. "But my mother says whatever makes me stronger makes them weaker." I asked, "What grade are you in school?" "Well, I don't go to school," he said. "Well, what do you do all day?" I asked. "I just work around here and help my family." "Does that keep you busy?" I asked. "Yes. Sometimes my father is gone for several days. He delivers coffee to the city." Andres helped me carry the gifts and food and supplies into the shack. His mother's look was priceless. I told them, "These gifts here are for your children, and these particular ones are for you, Andres. And these gifts are for you," I said, as I handed some gifts to Mom and Dad. One of the children asked, "Can we open these now?" I looked at Mom and Dad, who looked at me, and I shrugged and said, "Why not?" They tore the paper off and shrieked with absolute delight. It was a moment I wish I could bottle. Then Andres had one more gift to open. It was the gift from my grandparents. As he tore it open, I was as surprised and delighted as he was. It was a Swiss Army knife. He cried out, "Look, Dad, I got a toolkit!" I'll never forget the next few moments. It was complete silence except for the lowing of a cow and the occasional bark of a dog, and the sound of the wind coming through the pines on the mountainside. The Gonzalez family had helped me discover that year that the perfect gift was not what I would receive, but what I gave. Merry Christmas from Dan Hurst Productions.